Hello, and welcome to another episode of Scavenger Life. This is episode number 190 at scavengerlife.com. And we're talking about what's happening in our store this week.
The continued adventures.
Yes.
So this week, I thought I wanted to... a feeling that I've had this week, as I'm sure other people can sympathize with, is that I've been feeling eBay lazy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Why? Because we didn't do any eBay this week?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when it was a very busy week for us, you know, so it's not like we didn't do anything.
Right.
But when I look back, you know, it's Sunday now, and I look back at the week, and I look back at our numbers. I mean, you're different because you're always packing, so you actually are never a lazy person.
Yeah.
But I feel like I was very lazy with eBay.
Right.
Because, you know, life happened, you know?
Yeah, lots of things were happening.
Every single day, something would pop up that we would have to take care of, which would, you know, take away from getting into the routine of sitting down to take pictures or to a list. And then by the time the day frees up, it's kind of like late in the afternoon. And I don't know. For me, at least, it's hard to get
yeah.
It's motivating.
It's like you're exhausted from doing all the other things that you're like, you know, for me, like you said, I'm like packing and shipping and getting that stuff ready. So that's something that I can do. But as far as like photographing and listing, you photograph some stuff, but just like you said, getting into that flow of like 20 things in a row, like several things in a row. Yeah, it's very disruptive.
I think that's what it is for me, at least, is like I need to... It needs to be the core of it's my day doing eBay,
right.
You know, like wake up, drink coffee, eat some breakfast. And then like I need to start focusing on eBay right away because if I start focusing on anything else for even an hour or something, it kind of kills the day.
Right.
For me.
It's hard to get back into it.
Which is why I'm always amazed at people who work like full-time jobs or have, you know, young kids and, you know, they're focusing like that's their main thing. And then they talk about, you know, then at nighttime at 10 p.m. I like, snuck in and I like listed 20 things.
I'm
like,
how? Man, how did you do that?
Those people are incredible.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Totally.
I mean, it's what I'm talking about. Did you ever feel that way?
Yeah. I mean, this week I felt like that. Like I said, I always kind of have stuff to do because I am packing and shipping. And there were a couple things that were quite large things that needed to get packed. So that was like a huge part of my job. But yeah, I mean, if I don't sit down and list, if something else takes my attention and I don't have like several hours to just list... Forget it.
Yeah.
That's not happening during that day.
Right. Because, I mean, I think I took pictures of maybe half a folder, so maybe 10 things. And I think you listed about that much,
too.
Did
I list anything? This week just, seems like a total blur.
We tried to have a brave start to the week, and then suddenly just everything.
You're going to have to remind me what we did this week, because my mind is, like, blank at
so
the moment.
It's not to bore people too much, but, you know, this is the kind of things that... A life will throw at you.
It's like, how did a week get away from us, you know?
So I had a colonoscopy on Tuesday.
Tuesday, yes.
So all of Monday for me was, I had to fast, so
yeah,
I couldn't,
you couldn't eat.
Couldn't eat anything, which I like to eat, you know?
So, I mean, doesn't everybody?
And then by 3 p.m. that day, I just start drinking a gallon of like a liquid that makes you purge.
Yeah.
So it basically like flushes out your system. So I was taking pictures earlier in the day and then just by the time that happened, I'm just like, you know.
You can't do anything.
I'm just close to the toilet.
Yeah,
and just like
I know. As people who have had one understand.
And, you know, I'm still relatively young and they say to start getting colonoscopies at 50. But I have... colon cancer in my family, so...
So you thought,
I was
might
like,
as well mention
let's
it.
Let's go ahead and do it. And I don't think I understood how... I thought it was going to be a much simpler kind of...
Yeah.
It's process.
It's like a 24-hour, 36-hour thing.
Right, and then the next day, you know, I go to the hospital.
Right.
And you drop me off because it's like a 4-hour process with all the awaiting and all
right.
that. And they like, you know... put you in a gown and they suit you up like you're having an operation.
Yeah.
And they wheel you into basically like an operating room.
Right.
And they put an IV in at your arm. And
yeah.
And they knocked me out.
You weren't entirely asleep, but you don't remember anything, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think I was asleep. I closed my eyes and I didn't wake up till I was in the room where they
the recovery
wake you back
room.
Up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was a great process.
Great.
Like, there's no... pain. It wasn't uncomfortable, but then I was real groggy and out of it for the rest of the day.
I mean,
although the first thing that you did was eat a pizza.
You must have been starving. So we went across the street and got a pizza, which was great. But
so I don't want – sorry. I really do not want this to be one of those podcasts where it's just like chit-chat about our daily life. But I mean, my point is like – so those 2 days were done. And then we had contractors that we've hired to help us do some stuff like
– it was landscaping mostly, right?
Yeah. So on that rental property we have, there's like a part of the yard, or we have 2 acres that was overgrown with bramble and
just little trees that had grown up from weeds.
And we thought it would be cool to clear that out, so we hired some guy to do it. And the way we deal with contractors is we like to hire people that know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But we like to be a part of the process, not because we just want to check on people, but
We want to make sure they understand what we want, because in the past we've had people do stuff where we just let them go, and then we come back, and they're like, okay, pay us now. And they did not do what we wanted at all.
And, you know, we like to kind of change things up. Like, we have a first idea, and then as things are happening, we're like, wait a second, I'm seeing things differently. Let's do it like this.
Yeah.
Plus, we like to do a lot of the manual labor, too, if
we can. We help clean up, because that helps it make it cheaper.
Helps save time.
We have a truck. So another thing we had that we were going to do during the week was get the dryer installed, because we are stacking it on the washer, so we had to do that, and we had to vent it out the wall. So we expected someone to come do that, but then he couldn't, so then he came on a different day. So that like threw our day out of whack,
right? Because we wake up early when the guy says he's gonna come.
We're like, we blocked off that half of that day, you know, to do it.
So anyway, my point is, it's just one of those weeks where one thing leads to another, and by the time it's time for us to have some free time to do eBay, like
we're exhausted.
We weren't really feeling it.
Like yesterday, I was like, I'm dead.
But the good thing for us is, again, this is another example of, as we'll do the its numbers right now. I mean, the reason why we have a large inventory. So even though I took pictures of 10 things and Ryan listed 10 things,
probably about
basically.
That.
So we didn't really do anything on eBay.
Almost nothing.
We still sold about $2,000 is worth of items.
Right. So you broke the numbers down well. So it was $1,600 on eBay. But then we sold something on Craigslist for $250, which counts as this week. And then I sold something on Bonanza for $40.
I think we sold two things.
Oh, it was Bonanza for $40, and then I sold something on Amazon for $35.
Right.
It was a robe hook, a fancy robe hook.
Right. So, you know, we were able to, you know, still have a good week.
Yeah.
Even though we didn't really sell a lot. Now, so let's just talk about specifically about eBay. So we actually had a slow week
on eBay.
I heard people talk in the comments about that too. It was the same.
Man, it was molasses.
For us. But I mean, again, I think we also fall into this trap of, I think that what is normal for eBay is like the holiday times, you know, when we're making like $3,000 a week and we're selling like, you know, 80 items.
Yeah.
Like that's not normal.
It's not normal. You can't base it on that.
I can't peg that to be the normal. Yeah. I mean, this is basically what it is like.
Yeah.
During the springtime.
In summer.
And summer, you know, and so we're pretty happy with that. You know?
I mean, if we can make... I mean, this week we made about $2,000. That's pretty good. If we can make that every week, I mean, we're doing pretty well. Plus, you know, a lot of our attention clearly is going to our rental house. That's something we forgot to mention, was we had renters this week, too. So that was...
Right. And that's something else that we're having to learn to deal with, too, is that now that we're it's running like two simultaneous
businesses
when someone checks out and someone else is checking in, like we're about to do now.
Yeah.
We have to go over there and it takes about 3 hours to like
clean
the house, and you have to wait for the person.
There's a level of mental energy too that I'm finding that's like pretty intense. Like I woke up this morning super early because I had to gather up all our linens and our supplies and stuff. And you know, there's just that like, it's not nervousness, but there's like an intensity of like, we got to go do this. We have a certain time. We have to look nice to meet these people and like...
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the whole thing.
I mean, we don't have to do any of these things, but we're making... We want to
We want nice. To do... We want to
Like,
do
I mean, honestly, because we have electronic it locks on our doors, we could actually just text them and say, this is the code.
Come whenever you want.
There's you know, a booklet on the table that explains everything. Good luck. And but I don't know. I think for us, at least right now, I would rather meet people in person, present ourselves nicely, give people a tour. I just feel like that's
I think it's important for people to know, just to know us and know like how much work we put into the house, because the minute they walk in, they see that. So
let's keep talking about
eBay. So the numbers, yes.
So eBay, that's a nice thing, is that we have this little pipeline and just cranking out sales, even though, you know, we aren't really doing anything. We're distracted.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, we sold 28 items on eBay, and so 9 of those, so about a third, were under $30. Yeah. And this is an interesting number for me because, again, we don't really I mean, are we listing a lot of things under $30?
No, but I mean, there are some things that are $25. I mean, it's just, you're like, it's just not worth more than that, whatever it may be.
Right.
Sometimes we just have those, that stuff from box lots. It just happens, you know, or mugs.
Yep.
You know, you can't go higher than $25 on a basic mug, really.
I just think that's interesting because, you know, we've had these conversations on the blog, it's with other people, about wanting to have higher priced items and like only buying things that are worth $50 or more.
Yeah.
And you know what? We try and do that. And I guess it just surprises me that it's just hard. I guess we just end up without even knowing it, just buying things that are a lower price just because either we didn't know that, or just like,
you sometimes see it, like, you have to get it.
I can't pass it's up just, this mug. It's too cool.
It's a psychological thing. You're just like, I know someone wants this. I have to be the person who brings it to the market.
I guess though it's only worth $20, it's such a cool item. Yeah. I want to make sure someone gets it.
And you know, on slow weeks, those low items pad out your inventory. Yeah. I mean, okay, so the highest price thing we sold this week was a commercial panini grill for almost $500. It was $450.
Right. And real quick, just for the edge record, because I don't mind saying it, this was sale is all you. I mean,
okay, wow, I'm glad to take that. Well, okay, so the thing about this panini grill, right? We saw it at the thrift store. It was a thrift store, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and this is not like a George.
No, it's a professional.
It's
a Foreman
little grill. It's like a double wide, really heavy, made of steel and glass.
Yeah, it's glass ceramic, like you would have on a cooktop, on a stove, like a fancy stove. The thing about it was, I think we talked about this, it was absolutely filthy. I mean, baked on grease. And I had to use that Easy Off stuff, which I don't like to use, but I sprayed it on there like 5 times and just scraped
it. I think you cleaned it the day that I'd gotten home from the hospital, so I was real, it's groggy.
Yeah.
And
well, it took me a week to clean it, because I would spray the Easy Off on, I would scrape it off, and then I would spray it on again, because the grease was like layers.
But I think
and
you
layers.
Did the final one, like while I was, I just remember, I sat there, I was just like watching you. I think you're out on our back deck.
Yeah, because it was sunny that day.
A couple hours.
Yeah, a couple hours. And I took, well, what's funny is I took photos and I listed it. I think I listed it that night. It was Tuesday. It sold Wednesday morning. Clearly, it's something people want. The only issue with it was there was some grease that was so baked on, I could not get it off, not even with a razor blade.
Right.
But the guy still bought it. I did $5.99 best offer.
Right.
So
you know, I mean, and we were talking on the blog about auctions. I mean, this is an example of, if this was brand new, without, you know, brand new out of the box, it'd be worth about
$1,600. If you look them up, double panini grill.
So yeah. The, you know, its question is, why not just put it on auction? Well, because, I mean, number one, it had a lot of wear on it.
It did. And he said that. He's like, I'm concerned about the wear, so $450.
And I don't know. And yeah, so why not just start the auction at, you know, $450? That's what we're willing to take, hoping. I just think for us, just because normally auctions are just such a waste of time, and we don't have good experience with auctions.
With prices.
So we were happy to do it our way, and that's like, ask for what we want.
Right. A high higher than what I want, even.
But knowing we would take
$450.
Less than that.
Hell
and,
yeah.
And we were happy to take
the only thing that was a bummer was packing that thing. It weighed 35 pounds by itself. It's got glass interior. I mean, I bubble wrapped that part, but you know, it just makes you nervous. Like,
yeah,
you said, I sent it FedEx ground, which is good. It was only like $30 FedEx ground, you know, but still you're like, I double boxed it, padded it, had a huge box to put it in. And I'm like, please God, let it get to him, like, yeah, in all in one piece.
The only compliment I'll give is myself.
You saw it.
Is we were at a thrift store, and,
yeah,
and I saw all that stuff, and
we didn't know what it was.
This is why we're good partners.
Yeah,
I was like, what do you think about buying this? Because, you know,
right,
because it looks dirty, it looks important. You know?
Yeah,
and no one else is,
and
is
it even looks absolutely filthy and disgusting. So you're like, people are overlooking this because they're like, oh, what the hell is that?
I mean, even the people that ran the thrift store, they had it kind of piled up in the corner. They didn't really think it was.
And, you know, we bought both these pieces. We bought a panini grill, and it's like a crepe maker. It's a cast iron, like, crepe pancake maker. They were $35 each. So hopefully we'll sell the second one soon.
We sold a sink, which was another – I mean – so our week was really saved by these big dollar items. So we sold another one of our sinks for $249 on eBay.
It was free shipping, though.
And those of you that have heard us for a while, we talked about this. It's been a year and a half now. We bought 15 Kohler sinks.
For $15
from
each.
From like an outlet that were just trying to dump these things.
Yeah.
And we bought them for $15 each. And so we've slowly been selling these things.
Yeah.
And we have only two more left.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's one of those great deals where if you can buy a bunch of stuff up front, you know, we paid whatever, 15 times. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it was like $300 or something. But then we've been making a couple $100 each
on
sink.
Each sink, mostly. So the only problem with those, again, is shipping them. I mean, the shipping's not a problem. I've done FedEx Ground for the last one. I did FedEx Ground, which is great. But it's a porcelain sink.
But the great thing is they're still in their boxes.
They're in the original boxes, so they have some padding, and they have this cardboard thing that keeps them from hitting the bottom. But I pad it out even more, but it's just like, cross your fingers.
And then, you know, again, another experiment that has been paying off it for us is furniture. I think it's been almost a year now. We started doing it last spring. We started buying furniture that we would see at auctions or thrift stores because, you know, a lot of people don't like to buy furniture.
Yeah, where are they going to put it? What are they going to do with it?
So we buy furniture for, you know, under $50,
and
then we sell it. We try and sell it on eBay on a local pickup, but we've been finding it's Craigslist has been a nice
place supplement
to sell this stuff. So we sold these
two side tables there for a bedroom or a living room. Yeah, those were $250 on Craigslist to some guy that drove from D.C. out here. So
yeah,
but they
were a nice brand.
They're beautiful. They were Lane. If you look up Lane, L-A-N-E, Acclaim table, you'll find it. You'll find similar designs. They have this like dovetail design, just gorgeous. We bought them for $25 at a yard sale.
I mean, and that was
for both of them.
Yeah, so like
she's like, I don't know, 25. We're like, okay.
But it's great. Like, it's an example of a yard sale where, you know, everything's a dollar. So a high priced item is $25.
It's $25,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And where she's like, wow, someone's
25?
Actually going to pay $25.
We're
yep.
Exactly. So that's a fun sale.
Yeah. And then it's mentioned we sold a pair of shoes for $75.
Yep,
and
that was good.
I like bringing it up because we really built our business on
shoes.
Clothes and shoes. Shoes are a really big one because shoes are relatively easy to find and cheap.
And they sell on eBay.
But we do not sell very many shoes these days. I mean, even though we still have a lot of them up.
Yeah.
I don't know. We haven't listed any in a long time, and I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but
I know we still have a bunch that
but
need
shoes
to sell.
Are such a great, you know, we probably bought these for under $5 and they sell for $25.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
they
great,
were new, they were Sabago new moccasin, like what are they, like little ankle boots.
I think you had them up for like $200.
No, I don't think they were $200. I think they were like $120 or something because they're new and they're like,
right,
you know, the style right now.
No, Yeah, and then we did sell another pair of shoes for $50, and those were up for $150. And it was one of those days where we hadn't sold anything, and someone gave us this offer. You know, they're up for $100, it's $50. They offered
$50. I'm like, sure.
Ryan took it without.
Well, she hasn't paid yet, so about to do an unpaid item case this evening. But if she hasn't paid.
Another example of how best offer is kind of nice, where if you want to, you know, yeah, things are slow and you just need
You're like, $50? Great. I bought these for $2.
Need that little injection.
Yeah. So this past week, I was on the phone with eBay, and I got 3 defects removed. Now, that sounds like magic, but they were unwarranted defects that shouldn't have even been there in the first place. Like, one of them was told to me that would be removed, like, 2 weeks ago for something that someone said item not described, but I described it exactly what it was. They said they'd remove it. So I was checking up on that one. One of them was for a global shipping program. Someone said something was damaged, and eBay gave them their money back. Not out of my money, but... And yet... I had a defect for that, which was lame. The third one was someone had given me the wrong address, and it said item not received, and I reprinted a label, blah, blah, blah. It gave me the right address, and it got to him fine, and he left positive feedback. And I had a defect for that, so I was like, those need to be removed, and so, they removed them.
So how do you handle that? So if you go to eBay,
yes. And
if you open up that yep. spreadsheet they give you.
Right, and it doesn't describe any of the items.
And it's just like an item, yeah. number, so if you
this is to, what like, I'll tell you what I do.
Go.
If you just stop talking. Okay. So they give you the list of items and what the defect is. So I go through the item number and I put it into my email because I keep all my emails and I see what the item is. And I'm like, oh, that's either justified, yes, item not as described, or no, I can fight that. And so when I call, I immediately say, I have some defects that I would like to get removed. So they either transfer me to the person who can do that or they can do it. Oh, that's a great sound. And so... What was great is the guy that I got on the phone, I said, there's 3 defects that basically I said I was told would get removed last week and they haven't. One of them was they told me, whatever. They like don't keep records of stuff like that. So I was like, whatever. And he's like, okay, give me the item numbers of all 3. So I give him the item numbers. As everyone knows, the item numbers are super long. So you're sitting there on the phone, like just rattling
8,
off.
5,
yeah,
6,
no,
3,
seriously.
2.
5, 3, 7. It's just like, whatever. So he gets all of them and he's like, yep, you're right. All of those should be removed and they'll be removed within 48 hours.
Wow.
And within 48 hours, they were gone.
Yep.
But sometimes they'll tell you that. This is what drives me nuts. One of those, like I said, should have been removed a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And I had to call again. You're like, come on.
Yeah.
Like,
and I always think it's weird that eBay, I feel like a lot of companies do this, that they have a history of their conversations.
Yeah, why is there no
history?
That's
strange that like each customer rep doesn't have to like put some notes down on what they talked about. Because, you know, and I feel like that would be in their benefit too. So if...
Yeah.
If, you know, we're really rude, they can say, you know, buyer was very rude.
Like outraged.
Outraged.
Or if they – this is what goes to our advantage is if a rep says, no, that can't get removed, and then you call back 5 times and you finally get a rep that will remove it, what good did that do, you know?
I wonder if anyone from eBay ever hears our podcast, if they're going to hear us say this. But I feel like we always tell people to call
back
again. And so people in the comments say, I called. I didn't get the answer I
wanted. So I called again?
I called 2 more times and finally got the person – I mean, it's good for all of us, but it feels like that's very inefficient
It's inefficient for us and them.
Yeah.
I mean, spending all this time, you know, on the phone.
The other thing is, you know, we did a little bit of a shopping, but a fun buy we did was we just stopped by kind of a new thrift store that we saw. Because, you know, these things kind of pop up where like some little independent guy – decides he wants to, you know, maybe he goes to auctions and he's like, I'll just get a storefront and sell this stuff. So we love those guys.
Yeah.
Because
they pop up a lot too and go away pretty fast.
Because normally these guys, it's a great idea, but the thing is they aren't good at presentation.
Yeah.
So they have just a bunch of junk. And no one wants to buy a bunch of junk for the prices they want.
Right. So, like they have $50 on a Rowenta iron.
Right.
I'm like, okay, I get it. A Rowenta iron is definitely worth $50. Not in your store.
Yeah.
On eBay,
right.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, it's like where they're good at scavenging, but and they see that it sells a lot on places like eBay or Amazon, right. But they don't want to do the work to get that price, and they hope that, I don't know, some rich person's going to wander into a junky thrift store to spend a lot of money. So, it, you know, it's not a good business model. It's great for us we go in there, and it's like when we have a slow day, you can tell when they're hungry, you know?
Right.
And so there are these three vintage
chairs,
antique oak chairs.
They're office chairs. There used to be office chairs back in like the 30s or 40s.
Right.
And essentially, they're just this really basic kind of mission style look. I mean, you can look it up. I'm sure if you Googled that, you'd find it. But the funny thing is, we found one in an office building a long time ago that was being demolished that we were helping like take out materials. And we were like, they were like, take anything. So we were like, this is a nice chair. Either we can use this at our house or sell it or whatever. So we cleaned it up. And I actually looked it up the other day when we bought these other chairs. And I'm like, how much did that sell for? I'm thinking in my head, $150. This guy bought it and picked it up on local pickup. He paid $300 for this one chair. Not a pair. One chair.
But, you know, these are nice. But again, if you were to buy this at a Restoration Hardware, it would be $300.
It would be $300 plus for one chair.
So anyway, I saw these chairs and I just asked the guy, how much did you want? And he said $5 each.
And there were three of them.
Which is incredible because I guess for him, he's just like, it takes too much room. Just get it
out. I don't want to put them back in the store because they were outside. And I didn't believe it. I was like, what? So you bought one. One was a swivel chair. The other were just stationary. And we only had our little hatchback. And you bought one, and I came out, and I was like, was that only $5? Because I, like, the total was, like, $7 because we bought a couple books, too. And I'm like, we should get the other ones. I mean, I know we have the hatchback, but somehow we'll make them fit. We actually were able to fit them in the car.
I'm like, if it's a good deal, I'll make it fit.
Well, know, and we could have gotten the truck and come back. Yeah. But it's just funny how $15, and we're like, we could potentially sell those for $300 each.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't like to say that because we do take offers, but come on.
Yeah. I kind of feel we got it lucky on that one $300, but even if we got $100 each, you're still making money. So
it's crazy.
Actually, on our front porch is where we store a lot of furniture.
Everything.
It's starting to fill back up after having sold a bunch. And so we're going to do a day, a weekend where we'll like clean them off and oil them up and do any kind of sanding.
Fix the little nubs that are in the screws.
We don't like to buy stuff where we have to do a total redo on the piece of furniture, but we're willing to buy furniture that has some wear on it that will take, you know, an hour or something.
If you can get it cheap. If you can get it cheap enough. I mean, those chairs aren't banged up, but they are dirty and the arms were loose and some of the slats were loose. Yeah. So we had our carpenter friend kind of help us. He was here helping us with the dryer. We were like, help us with these chairs real quick. So that's good. And those are just, oh, and on the back, this is what is the coolest part about it. There's a little seal with a serial number that says property of the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Right. So it was probably a government chair.
It was like a government office or something. Right. And it's just stuff like that. Makes it like that's just incredible. Yeah. It looks so cool.
And just real quick about its furniture. I know you've been kind of obsessed with those blogs by it's mainly ladies are into refinishing
their stuff. House DIY. Okay, there's this whole thing. I just want to mention this. It's especially on Pinterest because they do their blog posts just for Pinterest, basically. There's this like huge flock of women, and they're my age. They're between, you know, late 20s, early 40s, you know. A lot of them just had kids. They just bought their first house, kind of like us. I mean, definitely our age. And there are these bloggers where they have these gorgeous blogs and all these like DIY projects, and they like take very detailed photos and have very detailed steps about like refinishing stuff and painting, you know, whatever, just, and I get obsessed with those because I'm like, yes, like if you can do it yourself for cheap,
right,
it saves you so much money, you know. If they're like, I redid my kitchen because I painted all my cabinets and I did it and it's still holding up 2 years later, and you're like, yes, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just where they'll take, like, those ugly oak cabinets.
Like, the 80s oak cabinets in the kitchen.
That were so common, that are so ugly. It's like, it's nice wood, but then they, like, paint, they somehow, like, sand them and then paint them in
different colors. Or stain them dark. Yeah. That's, like, a whole thing. Like, there's, like, a name for it. They're like, it's the Java gel.
So sometimes I think you want to do stuff like that, but I don't think it's worth redoing furniture that hardcore.
Yeah,
sell.
I think, right, because you want to let someone do that. I think what you want to do is, well, with wood like, this is kind of like a honey oak, and it's just gorgeous. It's not like cheap, you know, red oak or whatever. I think what you can do is you can clean it up so people can see the potential of, like, what they could do with it. And that's all you want to do, really.
And just, it's not that it's cheap red oak, it's just like, it's got
it's
a
cheap
look.
Red oak.
It's just a look that doesn't look good these days.
As know? I'm looking around our living room and it's all red oak.
Right.
Like, but it looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely a contractor, basic contractor cabinet that was installed in like every house in the 80s and 90s.
But, you know, it's neat that there's people that do stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's,
I love it. I get obsessed with those blogs. I think because they can make something look very contemporary, but use the materials that are already there. So they're like upcycling it instead of like, I'm going to spend, you know, $15,000 on a new kitchen. They're like, I'm just going to paint these cabinets and put new hardware on it. And it's going to look like a $15,000.
Yeah. And you know, it's
kitchen.
Very empowering. Although again,
it's a lot of work.
Though. We always are like,
where
it starts getting a little bit too commercial, where basically they just have like ads all over the place and like, buy all this stuff.
It is a lot of that. But, so it gets a little bit tiring. Like, there's so many pop-up ads, like, on the photos and stuff. You're like, oh, people, you're hurting me.
Okay, so people don't seem to mind us talking about our rental property. We talked about it some. And it's, I mean, I hope it's interesting just in the sense of, like, you know, we are full-time eBay. We sell on eBay full-time. That's where we make a living. But because we've been able to make its money on eBay, we've bought this other property that we now rent out as a vacation, a rental, mainly using Airbnb, although we have done a little bit on VRBO.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really whoever wants to rent is fine, but Airbnb seems to be the place where we attract the kind of people that
people are definitely hanging out on Airbnb, checking places out. That's what I do anyway.
So this is what I wanted to talk about with that. So we booked another week in the future. So this is for the
end of June, beginning of July.
Yeah. And it was $1,400.
Yeah. For it was like 8 nights or something like that.
And I just want to say, like, you know, on eBay, like this week we sold something for $450. We sold something for $250. Like,
right.
You know, those are exciting sales and they don't happen all the time, but they happen, you know, once.
A few times a month.
Yeah. You know, so
you
it's
hope.
Good. But man, having this is rental. It's like the feeling of selling the biggest item you can think of on eBay.
Right.
Because even if someone just rents for a weekend,
right,
it can be $400 or $500.
Yeah.
You know? And then when people book for a whole week,
it's like
$1,400. Like, I mean, I don't think we've ever sold anything for $1,400.
Yeah,
on
you're
eBay,
just like,
you know?
Wait. I mean, obviously there's a lot that goes into it.
Sure, yeah. But now that we've put in all the work, I mean, now we have this thing.
Yeah.
Now we're taking advantage of it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, when you get the payout from Airbnb, it's just like, wow, that is so great. We have that money. Like, it just, it's almost like it magically appeared, even though obviously we've done, like, years of work for it. But it's finally, like, you know, you actually can see the results.
Yeah, and so my obsession now as someone that likes to look at its numbers is like, now I'm always like, we have to book every single night.
Yeah.
You know? And
how do we have control over
that? Yeah, and like we've talked about, it's similar to eBay where, you know, we don't have total control. I mean, we can't make anyone book our places. So we do our best by, like, good presentation. Someone on the blog we've been emailing with, she suggested, you know, putting it on Craigslist. So
we've been putting it on Craigslist.
We do that. It's once a week where we'll posted on Craigslist in different areas on the East Coast,
right,
with a link to our Airbnb.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's done anything, but, you know,
we don't know, but some people from New York are coming today, so I don't know if they saw it on Craigslist or not.
And so for April, we have almost the entire month.
It's like 20 nights booked.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. It's the second month we've had it for available.
I mean, we're going to be making, well, right now it's definitely $3,000.
Yeah.
But if we book the end of the month, which hasn't been booked yet, I mean, we could be making up to $4,000, which is, you know, in my best dreams, I was thinking, okay, we'll be making about $2,000 a month. So I don't know. Again, it's just like I can't count. It's money I don't have.
Right.
And it's like eBay where I can't say an item is going to be worth a certain amount until it actually sells.
Yeah.
But, man, it would be really I'd be over the moon if we can keep the place booked as much as we have.
Yeah, I agree.
But, you know, like, I don't know what this podcast feels like. We're a little more harried. And it's just because both of us right now are dressed it's nicely. Because as soon as this is done, we're going to go over to this property and people are checking out.
Right.
And then we have to clean this place.
Like crazy.
Right. And then we're dressed nice because we want to look nice. Yeah.
Yeah. There's definitely a level of intensity, like mental intensity, where you're just like, you want everything to be perfect, you know? That's just like, we've made this house like this like great place, and you're like, everything must be perfect. Well, not a spot of dust anywhere.
That's just who we are, I guess, you know. But actually, again, I'm so bad with people's names, so forgive me. Someone on the blog suggested we buy this book on how to clean in a professional way. Speed cleaning. And actually it came.
Yes.
And it's on our dining room table. And so when both of us are eating,
we'll like flip through it. Yeah.
And it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Like, there's a way to clean that I had never thought about.
Right.
That, and you know, it's more about, yeah, anyway.
There's a method to it. So we have to read it more. I think I need to read it this week.
But today I'm going to use some of these techniques.
Yes.
Because the way we do it is we each take a certain part of the house.
Right.
And just focus on that.
Yeah. So I'm upstairs, you're downstairs.
You got it.
So we'll see how fast we clean today.
Yeah.
So customer issues. Now, one issue was actually, part of it was my problem. So I sent this woman the wrong shoes because I had two pairs that looked almost exactly the same. So I sent her, I actually made a return label through PayPal Ship Now, and emailed her the PDF, and she printed it out, which actually was a cool technique. But whatever, I lost like $5, obviously, because I had her send them back. And then I mailed her the correct ones, and she said they didn't fit. So she sent them back through hassle-free returns.
And she was totally cool.
Yeah, like, she was fine.
It was not a problem. It's buyer. It's just one of those things where it's just like one of those sales. It just took a lot of time and energy. And
Finally I get the new ones back. And then that day that I got them back, she was like, oh, these don't fit. I'm like, oh, God. Great.
And then its next thing is we've been talking about how we've been selling these knives. And most times it's been fine, but this is the first time I think we've ever had an eBay buyer. It seems like he's abusing the hassle-free its return. So he starts a hassle-free its return. He says not as described. And, you know, we pay for everything. But the problem was he didn't say what was wrong with it or why he didn't think it was
described properly. So I messaged him because I was like, I'm just going to ask him. I'm like, it's no problem that you're returning it. I just want to know what wasn't described. Like, what do I need to add to the listing?
Right, because we don't want to put it up again if for some reason there's a problem with it.
So he never responded. So what I did was when I got the knife back, I actually called eBay and I was like, I don't know what's wrong with this knife. I'm staring at the knife. I'm staring at my listing. I have no idea.
And a buyer is not
responding to, telling me.
He's not telling anybody.
Like, it's the wrong knife. It's the wrong size.
So I think it was very clear that he was just trying
to get free shipping.
Yeah, for some reason.
So actually what eBay told me, and there's much controversy about what is correct, but they said, give him a refund for the price of the item through PayPal.
Right. So it's basically a partial.
It's basically a partial refund. Yeah. So, and he was like, this hasn't been escalated to eBay like cases. It's just a hassle-free return. So if he doesn't escalate it after you give them the give him the refund within like a week or something, you should be fine. And so that means I'm not paying for, you know, all the shipping.
Right.
So that's what I did. And what I'm going to have to do in like a couple weeks is call and get the defect removed and be like, try at least. Right. It's just,
yeah.
So anyway, it's, I listed it again and hopefully it, the next person, I looked at all the writing on the knife and it's all correct. So I don't know.
And then this is, I bet people enjoy this. So we buy stuff on eBay. We've actually been buying. We aren't the worst buyers.
Okay.
We're just really picky.
Picky.
So it's no cops got called. It's this week. This is just a. So we were trying to buy something, and it's one of those people that have make offer on it.
Right.
And you're like, okay, that's cool.
Wonder how much they'll take off.
So we put in an offer, and they've got the
auto decline
on it. And, you know, it's only allowed like three times.
Yeah.
So we go one auto decline, two auto decline, and then the third one, we took off
a dollar.
And it's a $40 item. Auto decline. So basically, he's gaming. I just don't like this when a buyer. I guess he just puts it on because he wants to maybe
the search results
higher in the
its
ranking, even though it doesn't seem like he would take any money offer. Off.
It's so obnoxious to me. I really hate that where you're like. You know, you're using a search function that people are looking like, hey, maybe someone will take a couple bucks off. Nope.
Yeah.
Won't do it. What's the point? You know what? I still bought from him because I was like, I need this item. He's got the lowest price. Why not just go on that merit?
Right.
Why put me through like decline?
Right.
It's just like, come on.
Yeah.
You suck.
But that's just an example of just where you're like, oh, this is so shady.
It's just annoying.
Yeah.
Okay, so some news.
So a nice commenter, Jill,
emailed us.
Yep, she emailed us and said that she couldn't subscribe to our blog by email. If you go to our subscribe page, you can just put your email in, and then you'll be emailed anytime a new post is put up.
And she was like, nothing happens. I put my email address and press submit, and it just sits there. So I tried the same thing with just another email address I have, and she was right. There was something wrong with the code. So I re-input the code on to that page, and it works now. So anyone who was trying to subscribe by email and thought they were and isn't getting updates, you should get anytime we post within like 12 hours or something, you should get an email that says, you know, that we posted something. Another thing I want to point out is I was looking on the email subscriptions page through the FeedBurner service that we use. And a lot of people haven't verified their email, which means FeedBurner is going to email you and be like, do you really want to subscribe to this blog? Just so someone doesn't do it for you. And you have to click a button to verify. If you don't do that, you're not going to get any of the updates. So if you haven't done that and you haven't been getting the updates, just try to resubscribe through email. It's actually great because then you don't have to like always be checking the blog. You'll just get an email that there's a new post.
So another commenter, Tina, actually, she told us about an idea for a new mug.
Yeah, and it was hilarious. So she said, it would be funny if it said, find it, list it, sell it, ship it. And I made that mug.
Yep.
So I did put that on the store, and I'll link to it on the blog post. That's a great one. I love it.
It's just like a perfect way to explain what all of us are doing. Like,
yeah.
That's exactly like if you aren't doing
those things,
one of those four steps, then really
you're not doing. You're being eBay lazy like us.
So I'm going to put a link on the blog to this. It's next one. I noticed this when I was researching. So we sold that Panini grill. So I was like, huh, I wonder if we were to start buying like
commercial kitchen stuff.
Yeah. Like how could we sell it and ship it? And so I was just seeing what prices people were, you know, asking for. And, you know, there's a whole subculture of guys who have like these warehouses where I guess that they buy out auctions full of this stuff and they sell it on eBay.
They buy out an entire restaurant.
And so I noticed this. A lot of them, or well, it's one specific guy I saw. He had where, you know, the price was like $1,200.
Right.
Or $100 for 12 months. So there was an installment plan that PayPal had that he was able to put on his thing.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool. So I guess what happens is, and there's a whole thing about it.
Yeah, we'll link to it.
I don't quite understand how we as a seller can put that on our a listing, but the way it would work would be the person would buy the item, choose the installment plan. PayPal pays you
outright
for the whole thing, and then PayPal is the one that deals with the installment.
It's almost
plan.
Like they, I mean, it is. It's like a credit card. It's like PayPal giving them credit or a loan. You
I
know?
Mean, and it, what's interesting is that I guess if you pay it off in the 12 months or however long they want you to pay it off, the fee is really, it was like $50.
It was like really
on
low.
On $1,200.
Yeah.
But maybe what they're hoping for is you don't pay it off. And maybe
that's what any credit card is hoping for.
Yeah.
Because they want that fee.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so it's interesting. So I don't know if anyone knows about this, but I guess I was just thinking if we started to buy and sell, you know, more higher priced items. Because we have some stuff up for $1,200 that, you know, it's like furniture. I wonder if you could put like an installment
plan.
Bill
me later.
Because, you know, that might be.
That might encourage people like, hey, that's actually, it looks cheaper. Because when I saw that, I was like, oh, that's not bad, actually.
I mean, I don't want to like start trying to put people into situations where they're like buying things that they don't need. Because it's nice when it's either if you have the money or not, but.
Yeah, but it's not really your responsibility.
Yeah.
People do that anyway because they pay for stuff on eBay with credit cards every single day.
True.
So there's nothing you can do about that. That's interesting.
And then another commenter, Mark, who I talk to a lot online, he sent a cool link. It's called storagebattles.com. And I'll put these links on the
I got to look at that.
On the blog. But basically, it's this, it's like an auction site. And you can put in your a zip code, and it shows you
storage lockers
being auctioned off in your area.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like Storage Wars, that TV show.
Yeah.
You aren't allowed to go in it. You can just kind of stand out front.
Yeah.
And then people bid on what they can see from the doorway.
Yeah.
So what they've done is they just take a picture of what the doorway of the stuff is.
Yeah.
Is like, and then if you bid on that, so if you're just bidding on almost no information.
Which is, as we all know from the show, super fun in a way, because you're like, there could literally be gold in there. There could be like, you know.
Yeah, really I mean, I don't know. It's, you know, it's cool, and maybe it might be fun, and I can see it probably gets into people's like gambling addiction.
Yeah.
But it just seemed like there's some other... so many other ways to buy stuff in America for cheap that it you know is going to actually sell than taking a gamble. But
right.
It's fun to scroll through.
Yeah.
Okay, so things we learned in the comments on the blog this week. I think we're finally wrapping up this conversation, but it's about keywords.
Yeah.
We talked about this as last week.
Keyword madness.
So amazing taste that has... a pretty incredible store where her and her husband sell a lot of clothes.
Yes.
She, you know, started talking about these keywords. And I think like a lot of other people, I was like, I'd never seen this before.
Yeah.
It's like we it looked at the keywords and eBay had just defaulted like a lowest price item. And it was the same item in every single
category.
Field, in every category. Like,
yeah.
It didn't make sense. And so, you know, she explained how to do it. We actually did a special post where we put a photo of how we were doing the keywords because people were getting confused. And, you know, some people said they changed their keywords and all of a sudden they started selling a lot. I mean, we haven't had that experience. So, you know, I don't know if that would be consistent for people. I'd love to hear. And then someone actually, it's Nancy, pointed us to, she linked to an eBay radio episode where Griff was recently asked about it.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
And he was like, I'd never seen this either. Like, he was actually going to and was like, I have no idea about this.
And what he did say in that segment was, along with their analytics, which we complain about because it's awful, He's like, this stuff is outdated. So I'm pretty sure this is just an outdated page.
Well, I like Griff. He's good about being honest when it needs to be. And he was just like, I don't know about this. I'm going to ask.
Yeah.
He didn't say he knew if this was outdated, but he said there are other parts of the site that just like are grandfathered in or they're still there. And it's always strange to me. I feel like as someone, like I'm very, like I like to be organized. I would be like, if something isn't working on a site, just cut it out. Like, what's the point of having a part of the site that still looks like it works but spitting out bad info?
It's just,
So if anyone hears Griff for eBay Radio talk about these keywords, please, again,
please,
like if he does a follow-up, I'd love us. Just to hear, like, is this something people care about?
Is it still active? Does it matter? You know? Yeah, exactly.
I just think it's strange that, you know, this is eBay's business, and with all those engineers that they have, that they haven't figured out a way to make it work better.
Yeah.
Like, they could choose better keywords than what, you know, is there by default.
Right.
So, amazing taste. She also put another kind of cool idea up, along with her idea of the keywords is...
Yes.
So eBay has like these, it's coupons that you can turn on.
Right. Like digital coupons.
Yeah, where you can make a link where if someone clicks it, they go to it's your store and it says something like, if you buy two, you get one for free.
Or right.
If you spend $50, you get $20 off. 20%
off or something.
So, and she says that works for her. She sells a lot of clothes and I guess... She says what it works for is when you go to, like, Pinterest. If you put these links on Pinterest and people feel like they're getting an exclusive offer.
Right.
So I linked to where she explained how to do that.
Okay.
So another commenter, I think it was another Steve, he had actually emailed this idea that if you have clothes that smell or a coat or something, smells smoky or has some weird, it's musty smell. He says if you put it in a freezer, so if you have like a big
chest freezer, maybe.
You put it in there overnight or for a couple days, supposedly the cold kills the bacteria, and it's the bacteria that causes the actual smell.
So I think next time we get something musty, I think we'll throw it in the freezer and then hang it out in the sun.
Yep.
And just see if that kills it.
Yeah. It seems like it's for us, like, we really don't buy anything that smells dirty.
It's more of it's been in the thrift store.
Right.
Or
I think the thing that we have trouble with is, like, a lot of people smoke. Things that come from a smoking household. And sometimes you find those really incredible coats. I mean, they're just, like, gorgeous,
yeah,
but they smell smoky, and that smoke seems like the hard thing. So I wonder if the freezer helps
the smoke smell,
because the smoke isn't really bacteria. So
we'll try it. I mean, the next time I'm definitely gonna try that.
Another commenter
named Zach,
he actually posted a way where you can change it your store name on eBay, but the problem is that your old store name will still pop up all over eBay. So he explains how to change it your store name, but then to let eBay know that you have a new store name and to take out all the old store names all over eBay.
So that's good. Yeah, because people have mentioned that before.
So, you know, that's important for, you know, someone starts an eBay account and they don't think they're ever going to sell, and then suddenly they decide they want to sell on eBay, so they want to change their username, or they want to change their store name.
Yeah, their identity.
Yeah, and so there's a way to do both those things.
So somebody linked to this other guy on YouTube who does dumpster diving.
It was the Deal Diva.
Deal Diva, yes. I was like obsessing over these videos. I think because it's really fun to see other people like treasure hunting. He's funny.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, a guy that lives in LA.
I think it's like Orange County.
So, you know, he's an urban guy, and what he does is he goes into apartment complexes and goes through their dumpsters.
Yeah.
And he makes videos of the things he finds.
Yeah, and he sells stuff on Craigslist and eBay and everywhere like that.
Yeah, and you know, and we love these guys, these people, because they are all just guys, but, you know, they go through the trash and you know. And we aren't talking about, like, in the garbage where it's, like, gross food.
Although sometimes he does that, yeah. But,
but, you know, people throw, you know, especially in apartment buildings.
Yeah, they'll put stuff outside the dumpster because they want people to take it.
Or, you know, it's the end of the month, someone's going to another apartment, and they just, like, throw away all their hard goods.
Yeah. You know? So that was, he has 3 seasons of, like, 10 episodes each. So he has almost, like, 30 videos of these. So he has a playlist. It's all out of order. But it is fun to see him get stuff just because, you know, it's fun to find stuff for free that he's going to either sell or he does donate to people to.
So, like, what kind of stuff is he finding?
He finds clothes. He finds household stuff. Like you're saying, like, someone moves out and they dump, like, a perfectly clean mattress, right, which I'm sure he sells on Craigslist.
Or, you know, pots and pans.
Or, like, yeah, I mean, just, like, anything.
Finding, like, it's computer stuff.
Like, he'll part out computer stuff and he'll scrap gold and he'll scrap copper out of the laptops.
I mean, this is something that, as Ryan was telling me, I was like, oh, I would never want to do that. But I guess laptops have a tiny amount of gold in it.
But it's like 24 to 18 karat gold.
But it's little, but I can't tiny imagine pieces. The kind of work you would take to
basically
pull it out.
You have to you know, be pulling, you know, scrapping laptops for months to get, you know, a few ounces of gold. Mm-hmm. An ounce of gold.
Right.
But, you know, if that's what you like to do, that's cool. Yeah. But so it was cool to see that because I started researching it more. I was like, how do you scrap gold out of laptops? Well, it's not fun.
I think about the guys around here who, like, get the scrap, like, copper wire.
Yeah.
And what they do is they go in their backyard and throw it all into a pile and then burn it.
The insulation off.
Yeah. So it's like,
which is horrible. Like, because stripping it takes forever, so they're like, they just burn it.
But the good thing is a lot of the recycling places, at least around here now, if you bring copper wire that's all dirty and burned, they give you a lower price than if it's clean. And that's good. You know?
And at scrap places, as a lot of people probably know, they do take your ID now. Right. And, like, because if you're just always bringing, like, copper pipes and stuff, they're like, you're stealing this shit, you know?
Scrappers.
Yeah, so they're pretty vigilant about that now.
But
anyway, these videos are totally addictive.
Yeah, it's cool.
I've, like, watched all of them.
I mean, that's, like, real, true treasure hunting.
Yeah.
When you're going through the garbage.
Yeah.
I love that.
And he's funny, too, because he, like, lives in a super nice apartment complex because he shows, like, hey, I'm hunting in my own place, you know? And he's, like, wears a suit and tie sometimes when he's going out, which is funny because he's, like, I don't want people to think I'm, like, stealing stuff, or, like, I want them to see me and be like, oh, he's just whatever, getting stuff out of the trash. Yeah. You know?
I think it's all about, it's your attitude.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as you have, like, a professional, just like, I'm a good person attitude, it's like, hey, this stuff is being thrown out. Like, this is public property now that it's in the trash.
Right.
Like, let's do
it. And he's also very courteous, like Martin from Garbage Finds. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, if someone's staring out at you and maybe, you know, whatever, he's like, I'll just leave because I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want people to think I'm a nuisance.
Right.
And I don't leave a mess. And, you know, you have to be courteous to people's, you know, apartment complexes and homes.
I would totally be that guy. Like, if we lived in an apartment complex.
I'd be in the trash
city,
all the
I'd
time.
I'd be in the trash all
totally,
the time.
Totally. Yep.
I would be like, just bring it your trash to my apartment and I'll take care of it.
Exactly.
And then just one thing I just wanted to ask people, if there's someone out there who's an accountant,
yes,
who would like to do an interview with us about doing accounting for eBay, we get a lot of questions, especially like, it's tax time, it's April 5th today, so tax time is coming up, so if you haven't done your taxes, I hope that you're freaking
you
out
better get
it.
On it.
I would love to do an interview with, like, a tax person that also understands eBay, and we could have a conversation about how they would suggest a seller doing their taxes.
Yeah.
It's like, we have a way of doing it, but, you know, everyone's going to do it a little bit. It's differently based on their, you know, circumstances.
Right.
But, you know, we always get these questions on the blog too. Like, how do I do my taxes? And I always feel like an asshole because I'm always just like, it depends.
It depends.
And I always say, get an accountant. Like, if this is a serious business for you, like, you know, you don't want to just be taking idle information from people on the internet. But maybe if we did an interview, it's with a real account, we could pull out some good tips that people could at least have a framework of how to think about doing their taxes.
Right. I would love to talk to someone like that.
Yeah. Because, you know, I think a lot of people, they start out selling on eBay where it's basically, it's like a yard sale. You know, they're making it's 10 a bucks, hobby. 100 bucks, you know. I don't think you even have to worry about it if you make under $600.
Yeah.
But once you start making some serious, it's money on eBay, it's income.
Yeah.
You know? And so
you're obliged to report that.
Yeah. And, you know, it's best to do that. And
yeah,
we all love this great country, so it's good to.
It's great country.
It's money keeps it going.
Yes.
So what our coming week will be like?
Yes. So we have, right now, we are about to go clean the house for new renters.
Yep. And those people will be staying there till Friday. And then we have another, a 3-hour changeover where then people are coming for the a weekend. So, you know, those are two things. So that's great, though. I feel like that's where I'm a winner, when that place is booked
all the time.
I hope.
Yeah.
I hope we can keep that up. But but as far as eBay goes, so, you know, again, I admitted I felt eBay
lazy
this past week. And this week, I don't want that to be.
Yeah, we need to get back into it. There are definitely, there's a folder of artwork I need to list.
Yeah,
I know it.
And there is, so we have actually been, or I've been taking photographs of stuff inside our home. Because, you know, it's been cold. It's wintertime. We have a nice wood stove here.
We like to be by the wood stove.
So we've both been working by the wood stove in our house. So our house has a lot of eBay stuff in it that needs to get photographed. And so my goal is to finish photographing everything in our home and move now to, we have an eBay office.
Yeah.
And go back, because now that the spring is here, I want to start doing everything over there so our house just looks
it's like clean.
A normal house.
Yes, it's been taken over, certainly.
So, real quick, we took a break.
We took a long break.
So it's like 5.5 hours later.
Is it that long? Yeah, I guess so.
So we were doing the podcast, and, you know, we said we had to go clean the house. So we took a break, stopped. We went to this other house, and we cleaned it.
Yeah.
And we had to wait, and we met the people who stayed, and we checked them in.
Yep.
And now we're back. And it was a lot of work, you know?
Yep.
I mean, cleaning the
house. Cleaning a whole house after, I think, there were, like, 5 or 6 people that stayed there.
And you were a little bit on edge there, weren't you?
I was stressed. You know why? Because,
why are you so stressed out?
Because this is why. When everything goes perfectly, it's fine. But there were a couple things that happened that I was like, oh, this is...
It's like the handle to... It's one of the toilets broke, so we had to change it out.
But the good thing is...
Ryan changed it.
Yes, I changed it out because I've done it before. It's really easy. But there were two problems with it. One, so the handle was broken. It was a brand new handle, so I was pissed about that. And the second thing was, because I had actually modified the chain to the toilet, I had cut the chain in half, so I had to reattach the chain, and I didn't have needle-nose pliers. Mm. We did have them, but it was just like all these things at once where I was like, freaked out, but I fixed it, and I had a second toilet handle. But I kept the old one.
But this is where, just, you know, it's running a rental, like a Holiday Edge rental, just like eBay. It's just like you're dealing with customers. You have certain tasks you have to do, and you figure it out. You know, like, you know, instead of freaking out about it, you just like you fix it.
Yeah. After Jay yells at you, basically.
Because
you're like,
you were...
stop freaking out. You're freaking out for no reason. I'm like, I need tools.
I think the other thing is, and I hope people don't get bored by this, but this is just what's on our mind. So, you know, we have this place, and we're renting this place for about $200
a night. Yeah.
You know, give or take. And so we've decided that so when we stay at these kind of places, the Airbnbs, we like it when there's sugar and some coffee and
the
salt
basics
and oil, you know, because it's basically like a house or an apartment, and we always hate it when we stay places and there's nothing in there.
When we stayed in Colombia, they did not have any oil or salt and pepper.
Right.
And we were like, dope.
So we do all that stuff. And so we think if someone's going to spend $200 a night, so, you know, for like a weekend, they're going to end up spending, you know, you know, $400 to $600,
right,
that it's okay, it's great for us to spend $5 or $10 on extra. And you know what?
Yeah.
I don't think it's even that much. Paper towels, napkins.
It's very minor. Like spread out like that.
A thing of coffee, some honey, some tea.
Yeah.
You know, just like, so I think that's a nice a little thing to do. And kind of like when you treat your eBay customers too, when if you put in a little extra time just to make something nice, you know,
wrap it.
If you spend a little extra time packing it, if you spend a little bit with bubble wrap, that kind of thing.
You put a thank you note in. Yeah. It doesn't have to be handwritten. I print a thank you note, you know, in bulk, a little like postcard thing.
I think that those things go a long way.
I agree. And I think people notice it. I notice it when I buy stuff from people. And it's, I mean, you definitely notice it when someone shoves something in a padded envelope, not in a bag, not wrapped up. You're like, whoa.
I think that people care about the details. And I think that's true for any business. You know, anyone right now that's hearing this that does any kind of job, I'm sure they would all say the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's the details that it's matter. Whether you're a computer programmer or you work in the hotel industry, you know, those things, it's matter. And you can always tell when someone's doing the least that they have to do.
Yes.
You know?
And we've definitely stayed at places like that where you're like, oh, they are not thinking about like what it's like to stay here. There's like bare minimum, you know. So those are things that take time and
but
effort.
This is why I've been feeling eBay lazy all week, is because I guess, you know, having this other business in our lives is, we really haven't kind of like kind of synced it all up yet, you know. We don't realize like, oh yeah, if we have to go clean the house, it might only take us 2 hours to clean, but it could be a 2 to 4 hour experience because of the driving. We had to wait an hour for them to come, you know, that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's now 5:30. I mean, we're not going to do any eBay today, you know.
No.
So, so I just have to, I don't know. I guess I feel like I need to better incorporate both of these businesses into my schedule.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's, we were talking about this when we were waiting for them. I was like, you know, the mental energy that goes into this other business, because we're just starting. It's not like we're like, oh, we've been doing this for years. It's like, these are our first set of renters. So we're just like, you know, all out. Everything has to be perfect. And today and tomorrow, we're going to be spent. I mean, hopefully we'll be doing eBay stuff tomorrow, but, you know.
We are.
We are. Jeez, like, there's no doubt.
We are.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm ready.
Yep.
Okay. So we're going to take some questions that people have either emailed in or they have called our special phone number, our red phone.
Yes, the red phone, which is just a Google voice number. The phone number is 540-407-8486, and there's a 3-minute limit. It's just a voicemail. We don't pick up.
And we look for any kind of question about eBay, or if you have like a story about eBay, or if you want to comment on something that you've heard in previous episodes. We like when people kind of help push the conversation forward. So let's go ahead and play one.
Hi, Scavenger Life. This is Candy. I first want to say I appreciate everything that you do for us, and you offer some great tips, and you've helped me so much. My question is, from your eBay sales, put back into inventory, and what percentage do you put back into savings? I know it's probably like a really silly question, but I'm just curious to see what you guys do, and I thank you for everything that you do for us. Bye-bye.
Okay, that is not a silly question at all.
It's not a silly question, although I don't know if I really have a good answer for you. I mean, that's a kind of question where, like, if you had some kind of really, like, a real business, I don't know. I mean, it's not that we don't have a real business, but we don't have, like, a certain amount where we're like, we keep 10% and we put in 45%. It's more, we're pretty good with our money, and we don't spend more than we have to on our personal lives. We talked about this before. It was very important for us to start an eBay business where we did all of our expenses.
Mm-hmm.
So we know how much we have to pay every month for insurance, electricity, internet, phones. I mean, so I actually know that, you know, we have to put out think it's like $1,700 or something for that stuff.
For that stuff, plus our mortgage.
Yeah, and then plus our, it's mortgage on top of that. So then as far as what we put into our business, I mean, we don't really limit ourselves. So some month we may only spend $100 because we just haven't really seen anything good.
Yeah.
But some month we may spend $1,000. $1,000 because we happen to run across some sales where we're like, we want all this stuff. And then we always just know that we're always trying to list as much as we're going to buy. I mean, we don't list everything we buy right away. But we always make sure we have a good balance, you know.
I think also what we do and what we try to do is when we have a chunk of money that we've saved up, we try to make sure we're investing that back into one of our businesses. So like this month, we had some extra money from two of the rentals that we had last month. So we got a bunch of landscaping done at the rental house. So we put the money right back into the business because it was something we'd been wanting to do for like a year. You could call that savings in a way, but it got spent pretty fast on a project we'd been waiting for. So the project was kind of like the savings. It was like, okay, when we get the money, we'll
And I guess, you know, now that you put it like that, I mean, I think for us, like every dime we make that we don't have to spend on just regular daily bills, we invest somehow back into our business. Yeah. I mean, like, we've been pouring all this money into that rental house. Like, there's no idea for us, like, oh, we have an extra $500. Let's buy, you know, some new tennis rackets.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's just like,
Or I want to get some alloy hubcaps for my car, you know? Like, we don't really spend money like that on a luxury item.
Here's the answer, and this is the answer that you would give to me, generally, is you're either reinvesting in your business, this is what our savings is, or you're paying down your debt.
Right.
So you have an extra $1,000, you pay $1,000 to your whoever, credit card or whoever. And we've done that. We have money that we owe on the credit card and we'll take a chunk out of that, you know.
You will hear a noticeable like happiness in my voice when we ever get to the point in our lives where we have no debt. I think that's
I'll have a spring in my step.
No, I feel like that's probably pretty rare for many Americans. Like, I wonder how many Americans actually are not in debt, you know?
I think it's so rare.
I feel like even people who are quote unquote rich
have debt.
You know, have some kind of debt, whether it be their house or boats or something, you know.
Yep. Well, I feel like that's taught. In order for you to have any credit to get, like, I had no credit really when we were applying for mortgages because I never had a credit card. Because I avoided that stuff because I knew so many people that got screwed by it. And then it kind of screwed me because I'm like, I don't have any, like.
I mean, I guess, you know, on the other hand, I mean, we do live in a very great country where, I mean, regular people have access to quite a bit of its credit. And if you're smart, like I think we have, you can use that credit to, you know, do all kinds of cool things. So, like,
and if you can pay it back,
Like we use our credit card to buy a lot of like building supplies for the house that that's what we're paying off right now.
Right.
I mean, it's almost like we had an instant, you know, $10,000 credit line.
Right.
From the bank, but it was from the credit card company. So,
but the only issue with that is if you're not paying it off in big chunks, you know, the interest is so high. It's not like a construction loan at 5%. Yeah. It's like whatever, 25%. It's insane.
It would just nice to be not in debt, obviously, just because then you can just
then sit you can
pretty,
save you know? Stuff. Oh yeah, then you're like, let's go to Paris for a week. Okay.
What?
I don't know.
Oh my god.
Something like that.
Let's play another one.
Hi. Yes. Good morning. In your recent podcast, you talked about the nail polishes. I went to eBay. I saw them. Pretty color. Do well on them. But my question to you is, I went to your health and beauty section. I see you have a lot of vintage fragrances, but fragrances turn, and they can have a rancid, weird smell to them after a certain amount of time. How do you know? What do? You smell them? Because I run across a lot, at garage sales and estate sales. And so I just want to know, do you check them all out before you do it? Because sometimes you got to spray it on your wrist or a part of your arm and let it stay there a while so you can really, you know, smell the fragrance. If you could answer that question for me, I'd love to know, because I'd like to pick up some vintage fragrances and creams and stuff like that. Thank you very much. I love your podcast. Bye-bye.
First of all, I love getting calls from you.
Yes.
Because they're good questions, and I love the accent. So any perfume we sell, we open up. I mean, they aren't like brand new in the package where you can't undo them.
Yeah, it's unsealed.
You know, it was off of a lady's, you know, she passed away or got put into a home and all of her stuff got put in boxes, and that's where we get these things from, estate sales
or
auctions.
I test the fragrances.
So we open it up and you smell it. I think we would tell if it was a rancid. I mean, the other thing is, we've never had a complaint, so that's another good...
Yeah, I've never... And the other thing, too, is sometimes with those vintage ones, I mean, I've never... Anything that smelled bad, I would never buy it. Or if I got it home and it smelled bad, I wouldn't sell it. Some people are just buying them for staging.
Mm.
Like, you know, I have this one, it's like Chantilly, whatever. You know, it's super old. It's totally from the 50s. And it might not smell like the original smell. It doesn't smell rancid, but I'm pretty sure someone would buy it just to put it on a shelf. Mm. Like, I don't think they're going to use it.
But do you think that it's turned, or you think it's not the same smell?
No, I mean, like, over time, alcohol changes. You know, it's like wine. Huh. Like, over time... Yeah. Wine changes the taste. So I think I've never smelled anything that smelled rancid, though. It just
I need to read about that. Because, you know, like, they have bottles of wine that are decades old. I mean,
I would love to know that. Yeah.
I feel like some of that might have to be how it was stored. You know, as long as it's stored inside of a home, and like it's not just thrown in a barn somewhere under heavy heat. But I mean, it's like anything we buy or that we buy and sell.
Yeah.
I mean, we check to make sure it's still in good shape.
Right.
And a perfume would be the same way.
But I mean, you know, it's a good point. And the good thing is I've never had a complaint from anyone. So I'm hoping that my discretion is correct in smelling them. Okay, next call.
Hi, Jay and Ryan. It was fun listening to your last podcast about having fun as a scavenger and having fun scavenging together. I have a question for you. My husband, my lovely, lovely husband, who hates shopping, has decided to help me out with scavenging. And this is accompanying me and then asking, why would anyone ever want that? Why does anyone want that? And we always get into an argument about why someone would want something. And I say, they just would, because it's interesting. So I know that you two are not always as delightfully happy with each other as you are on the podcast. And I was wondering, have you guys come up with any strategies for dealing with the sort of aggravation of shopping with somebody else, scavenging with somebody else, and having disagreements? You've been doing it for so long, I'm sure you must have hit some bumps in the road and come up with ideas of how to smooth over those bumps and continue to work positively. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Okay. So my first thought is, there are many, many times where I'll want something and Jay will be like, what? That's crazy. And vice versa. He'll want some crazy, like, big wooden trunk, and I'm like, oh God, no. You know, like, I don't want to do anything with that. And what we've come to, because we are both scavengers and we do this business together, it's not like one of us is just tagging along. I'm like, go for it. It's your business too. You want to buy it?
Right.
You want to ship it? Or you're not going to ship it, but, you know, you want to figure out what it is and research it? Go for it, you know?
I think in her case, you know, her husband's still kind of new to the whole scene.
Right.
So he's asking the questions of, like, you know, why am I buying old shoes?
Why am I bothering?
Who would ever buy old shoes? You know, like, so we don't obviously have those kind of...
Right, because I know people buy weird stuff.
It's with each other. I mean, I would hope her husband would quickly learn when he's helping her buy stuff and she sells it and he's like...
Oh, someone bought it.
We spent, you know, $20 at Goodwill and now we just made $100. Like, that's...
Right.
the question of why is a moot point at that point.
Yeah, you're like, I don't know why someone bought it. I mean, he must see you packing and shipping stuff, so he must know people buy this stuff that you're buying.
I mean, and then the other thing is it's for us, we really feed off the idea of why someone's going to buy this
piece. Right.
It's almost like I love the challenge of finding the weirdest thing and finding the person that's going to buy it. I mean, we talked about this is recently selling these like really weird like outsider art and
weird dolls.
You know, and the idea that's half the fun is having your eye like a verify.
Yep.
Like
someone's Umfug said that.
Someone's confirmed that what you saw was exactly what they wanted, and that's an exciting thing.
You're like that outsider art, the sketchbook, I wrote her a note being like, I'm so glad you totally understand how special this is. Because she paid $250 for it. Clearly she thinks it's amazing, just like we did. So, you know, like, most people be like, it's an unnamed artist.
Right.
It's, you know, crappy art that's ugly, or some people might think so. Who's going to pay $250? I'm like, there's someone out there.
But the other part to her, its question is just, about like, how do you deal with basically kind of, I guess, arguments and stuff.
Sure.
I mean, and again, is like you said, we are always looking to each other for confirmation.
Right.
You know, and very often, you know, I'll show it you as something. It's like, that's cool.
That's awesome. Yeah.
But if it gets down to the point where I really want something and you're not interested in it,
you
doesn't
get it.
Matter. I mean, we always say that to each other. I mean, it's like,
It's up to you.
It's like, if one of us is passionate about it, that's all it takes.
Right.
It's just for one of us to get passionate. I do sometimes show it you stuff where I'm like,
I don't know.
I could give or take, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I could leave this. Like,
we do that
really
all
care,
the time.
But I'll show it to you hoping that it you're excited about. And sometimes you'll become more excited than I am. I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of for us, because there's two of us in the business, I mean, we very much are like, I don't want to say looking for approval, but just like, you know, it's like when you show someone something and you're like, is this really ugly or like amazingly cool? I can't. And then the person's like, oh, it's horrible. And you're like, yeah, you're right. You know?
Because the reason why that's important, because you're going to be bringing this into, or we're going to bring this into our home. So we're going to
live with this thing.
It's with this item. It's going to sit there until we list it. We're going to photograph it and pack it. I mean, so if one of us isn't excited about it,
then neither of us are excited about it, and we want it gone. But, so that's a bad feeling.
But I do hope that her husband becomes more into it, because I think it's nothing more exciting when partners work together, because there's nothing more. I mean, it's so much better than any other kind of like hobby I can think of. Like scavenging is such a fun hobby, because you can make its money while you're doing the hobby. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
To me,
it does feel
like
that.
When people talk about their hobbies, bike riding or crocheting or whatever, it's like, no, well, we look for junk, you know, that's our hobby.
It's fun. Yeah. Yep. But I mean, the other thing too is, I mean, your husband, hopefully, if he is tagging along for a reason, I would think that he's going to find some stuff that you never would have thought of, that he's like, this is cool. I never thought of this. And I bet there's like a market for it. Let's try. Let's buy a couple of them and see if there is a market.
I mean, kind of like, I think if you guys are shopping at like Goodwill or like a thrift store, that might not be his angle.
Right.
Because that's a lot of times is more clothes and like housewares.
Yeah. Like an auction might be.
Maybe he needs to go to an auction or a flea market where he can get his hands on it. I mean, I'm being really sexist here, but tools, you know, like,
or just
whatever. If he's into horses, you know, like, he can find the things that excite him,
right?
And he knows why people buy this stuff, because
he buys it.
He would buy
exactly.
You know?
So we don't have to be sexist about it. Men like tools, but there are lots of women like me who like tools.
That's right. I'm the handyman of our house.
I'm
totally cool with that.
Handy woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, next one.
Hi, Jay. Hi, Ryan. It's Tom here, the English Picker on YouTube. Just wanted to give you a quick call. I'm currently in France on a buying trip, looking for different bits and pieces I can put on eBay. And this is more of a comment, really. I just wanted to thank you guys for the idea of changing your handling time rather than putting on holiday settings on your eBay. I've experimented this time in doing that. I haven't put my eBay shop on holiday mode. I've simply changed the handling time to 15 days and then messaged the person once they buy something. And it seems to work quite well. Before, I'd have sort of two or three, four people going mad and saying, oh, I didn't realize, I didn't see it. And this time I've only had one. So it's actually worked out quite well. The only downside on that is I'm currently in rural France and the internet is somewhat hit and miss. So that's been slightly difficult to keep on track of that. So I just also wondered if you had any tips or tricks about using the internet abroad and your experience doing that. So thanks for all that you do. I really enjoy the podcast and I hope to speak to you all soon. Bye now.
It's always good to hear from Tom.
I love the accent and I love that he calls it holiday mode.
And it was cool. We
I always want to call it holiday mode now.
It was, she actually met Tom and his girlfriend
in Amsterdam.
In Amsterdam, and we actually went to a big
the big flea market, yeah, with them.
The IJHolland.
IJHolland, the biggest flea market in the Netherlands.
Yep.
Netherlands is pretty small. So.
And so I think it's cool because I would do this too. Man, if I lived in Europe, I would totally use scavenging as an excuse to go to different countries.
Well, what's
like,
so great,
awesome.
I forget that France and England are connected through the tunnel.
Yeah.
So you can just hop on a train
right. And
go to France. I'm like, oh, you're
well,
so smart.
It's probably even cheaper to take a flight. You know?
Or to fly, yes. Yeah. But so that's awesome.
So, you know, we're going to Barcelona in September. And
we are very fancy. I love how you just said that, like, so normal.
Because,
but it's true.
Because it is normal.
Yes, we are.
Because we've gotten our lives to make it be normal.
It's for work, of course.
And so we'll be doing some scavenging too. And
Hell,
that's what's work. It's for us to change our handling time.
Yes.
It's like Tom says, because then, you know, once they buy, I mean, it's set in stone that you're going to be 2 weeks, 6 weeks.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's whatever the handling time is, that's when they're going to get it. And they can't, you know, get you in trouble because
eBay sees
right. The
handling time.
Now, like he says, it is good. We always do the same thing too. We email people right away just so they're clear. In case if you didn't see it, it's
right. Going
to be 2 weeks, 3 weeks before I ship. And most people are good with that. So Tom's asking, well, what happens when your internet's bad? We've never really been anywhere where internet's been
that bad.
You know, at least for, you know, it might be bad for part of the day, but then we always get back to a place where the internet's good, so it's not a problem. But that's why changing your handling time's okay. You don't have to email them. That's more of just a courtesy because
right. We're
all people who are good at selling on eBay. There's no need to email them because it tells them when they're going to get it. You know?
Now, I think also with the spotty internet, don't feel like you have to email them right away. But since you are traveling and maybe you'll hit up a Wi-Fi hotspot or whatever, just do all your messages then. Like, don't freak out about it, but just do it when you can.
Tom's right. It's like me, like where I need to always be on the internet. Like,
absolutely.
It's very, like, It's so interesting. Like, I just catch myself with, it's my phone in my hand every 5 minutes just checking to see if something's happened. You know?
I mean,
it's very, and you know what? I love it.
I don't care. I mean, people are like, ugh. I mean, we're very much technology nerds. So when people are like, the internet's making us more disconnected and we're addicted to our phones, I'm like, yep. I'm totally addicted to my phone and I do not care.
People talk about those vacations where they don't have internet and they like take your phone away.
That sounds horrible to me. That sounds like hell to me. I'm like, what do you mean? I need to check Twitter all the time.
Yeah.
But that's just us.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. So I have a question that someone emailed to us. It's Mark. He's actually asking about our rental house.
Aha.
So he asks, what we're going to do with this house when it's cold. So during the winter time, you know, because doing the heat on a house is expensive. I mean, like it would, like 1 month, I think it was February, our heating bill was like $300.
Yeah. And it was,
house.
And we're very stingy about
so
the heat.
What he was saying, and it's smart that we could, you know, close the house down. We could drain the water out of all the pipes and just turn the heat off. So yeah. It'd just be a vacant, empty house.
Right.
And we could totally do that. We actually have a plumber that we can call to help us.
Yep. He said make he would
sure
help
we
us.
It yeah, blow the it. Pipes out. I think we can rent this place up and through December. So I feel like it's only January and February that would be our dead months.
Right.
So Mark also suggest, well, what if we rented it to someone full time for those 2 months? So it'd be like a kind
January,
of a
February.
It'd be kind of like a long term slash short term,
like
kind of
a
rental.
Retreat, like someone's right. coming down. Yeah, I think that's a
you
very
know,
good idea.
And we talked about this. It's before is like, I mean, it'd be perfect for someone who wanted to write a book or,
yep.
I don't know.
Yep,
needs to be away somewhere for 2 months somewhere
where
quiet.
Nothing's going on.
Yeah. And then we would obviously, you know, I wouldn't charge $200 a night, but we'd maybe cut him a deal to stay there just so we could obviously pay for our heat and make some, it's money too.
Right.
So I don't know. We'll have to.
No, I think that's, my mom always suggested that too. She's like, in the winter, you should like advertise this for writers because right. it's such a perfect place for a writer.
But it'd be interesting to hear if other people have done something like that, because I don't know how we would find, because it wouldn't be anyone a local here.
Yeah,
we would have to find someone in New York
or
wherever,
DC or wherever.
So it'd be interesting to try and find it. Maybe there are like websites for writers
who, yeah, I think that's probably true.
Or like a scientist is trying to cure cancer and needs to come and like
just hang out and do their research. You never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
But that's a good
question. I think it's a very good question, and I think it's a very good set of solutions that we could possibly do. Because I would love to rent it out. I would love someone to be enjoying the winter there.
Okay, so we have this next question from Zach. Here you go.
Hello, wise eBay sages. This is Zach, and I have a scavengorical question for you. Yeah, I just coined that term. Since I'm calling in, you know I'm an eBay seller. I go to lots of estate sales and garage sales. I also now have a bit of a problem paying retail prices for anything I could find used. I'm what some would call frugal and others might call cheap. I've started buying a lot of vintage items as gifts lately. So like when I see something I think a friend of mine could use or want, I buy it and I'll save it for that person's birthday or for Christmas. Like I bought my friend an old Windows 95 laptop so he could enjoy the vintage games he likes to play. And for children's birthdays, I try to find nice, good condition, you know, interesting older toys at thrift stores or garage sales. I mean, there are so many toys out there. It's crazy. Why would you buy new ones when there's 10 million old ones? But that's another topic. You know, I bought, like, my niece for her second birthday. I bought her a vintage cast iron coin piggy bank. You know, it had, like, a little spring action. It was really cool. But my mom has tried to kind of diplomatically tell me that it kind of embarrasses her that I buy these used gifts. And why can't I just go buy people something new, you know, a gift card or something from Walmart, which I don't get. I find that boring. I don't know that there's no thought there. But I haven't had anyone else openly object to me giving them used gifts. And, you know, I try to get them nicer things, not just crap. Some have been excited about them, like my friend who I got the old laptop. He was super excited. The other people might just be sparing my feelings. You know, I'm not sure. They might just think I'm a cheap asshole. I'm asking your opinion. Is it bad to give used gifts? Is this in bad taste? Thanks.
Okay, so this is a great question that Zach has. And I really feel like,
yep.
I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, for people like us, like getting a used gift, I don't know, that's...
It's hard for us to answer that question,
I mean, I feel like a lot of things that people buy on eBay become its gifts. And I guess there's a difference between, like, you're buying something vintage or it's unique.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like an antique, you know. Yeah. People don't think of those as like, oh, you're just giving me some trash. Used.
Yeah.
But I guess if you're buying, like, a new item that's used, then that's when people start feeling like you're being cheap.
I do not have the right perspective. I gave my brother and his wife for their wedding a vintage, like, Dansk, you know, like, gorgeous, amazing,
like
roasting pot.
Right.
Yeah, mid-century. It's Coben style. You guys know what it
is. Because his wife
she's a chef.
a chef. Right. So, and then, but it is also nice if you went online on eBay and found
the... Yes. So what I did to match it was I found the vintage advertising for that pot from like the 60s from a magazine. And I bought that and framed it and, you know, gave it together. Like, this is a cool vintage thing. But that's like vintage mid-century. Okay. So
I do have the answer for... So the answer is simply, you have to own it, you know?
Yep.
If that's who you are, and if you're buying these gifts is genuine and with love.
Yep.
And if someone has a problem, it's with that. That's not your problem. Nope. That's, you know, that's their problem. Yep. You know, it's like, it's a whole thing. Like what someone else thinks of you is none of your business.
It doesn't matter.
And it's that same kind of thing. You just like...
I mean,
you're doing something full of love, and if someone wants to think something negative about that, then that's on them.
I mean, you could just not give anyone any presents, and you know what I mean? Like, to me, you're being thoughtful, and you're thinking of these people, and you're searching in a scavenger way to, like, be giving gifts, you know? And that's cool.
I mean, I'll tell you something that's really controversial, and that is when people give us gifts... And then we turn around and
we sell them. And what's even worse is when those people look at your eBay store and see that you're selling stuff that they gave you.
Hi, Ryan's mom.
My mom is always like, didn't I give those to you? Oh, sorry, mom. Yes, you did.
But Ryan's family knows that when they give us gifts that, you know, we may use it for a while and end up selling it. I mean, you know, that no one should get mad. And actually now...
That's why they should just give me money.
When we go up and visit your family very often, they'll give us stuff to that they know we're going to sell.
Right.
Like, here's an extra box of like of a lighting stuff that I don't want.
Yes.
You know,
and someone gave me this brand new photograph lighting kit. And I was like...
Because they knew we were going to
sell it. Yeah, she just was like, here, I'm not going to use this.
So it's like, it's almost like instead of them taking to, you know, the...
The thrift store.
The thrift store, they give it to us.
And I'm like, that's a great gift because it is like they're going
to
give me
money. And your family loves to hear our stories. Like when we go, they always talk about what do we buy and sell and what do we find.
And most of the time when we're visiting them, we're scavenging. So we have like... boxes of stuff that we're shipping home, boxes of stuff in our car. I mean, last time we were there, I was like going to FedEx like 3 times a day. Mom's like, what?
Well, I think about when we saw it's father and his wife and your aunt and uncle.
Down in Florida.
At the beach.
Oh my God, our car.
And they just thought that we were just such quirky, weird people, but not in a bad way, but just because, you know, being a scavenger, I think you're a very interesting person, you know, because you live this weird life and they laugh about it and kind of make fun of us a little bit. But I mean, ultimately, we're the ones who are laughing because we have this like kind of freewheeling, fancy free lifestyle.
Because I bought like 5 hockey sticks at an auction in Florida and then sold them for $100. Yeah. Like, whatever.
So I guess that's the answer. We just own it. So
yeah, I'm just like, this is what we do. Whatever. I don't care what anybody thinks, but I hear you. Okay, last call.
Hi, Ryan and Jay. This is Amy from Knoxville, Tennessee. My question is about whether you guys use Octiva or another kind of listing service for eBay. I noticed that your listings look a little bit different and you have a theme with it. I was just wanting to see if that was worth the money or not. Thank you so much for doing your podcast. I really enjoy them. All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
So we get this question every now and again. I mean, we just list right off of eBay.
Yeah, I built... The reason why my listings look different is I did build a template from scratch because I am a website HTML nerd, so I know how to do that stuff. And I built that template like in 2008, so it was a while ago. So we don't use any... I mean, we are the cheapest people. We're like, we're not paying extra for any services.
And you know, we know plenty. Like, we know a couple that sell on eBay, and I'm always checking their store out because they sell great stuff. They sell a lot of stuff. They don't have any templates.
They barely say anything in the description.
They do a good job taking photos. Yep. And then in the description, they say just things like, here's a cool lamp, have fun, and that's
see ya.
But they sell it because they do good titles.
Yes.
They do really good
keywords. They know what it is.
And just the item is quality. And so it makes me feel sometimes like, why
we're overdoing it.
Like, why do we even need to embed photos in our template?
We probably don't. But you know what? I like doing that.
Right. And so if you want the look, you do it for it yourself. And you can just get templates online. And you don't have to go through Octiva.
eBay has free templates, too, if you want just like a simple
basic thing. But I mean, there's lots of like companies online, like these websites where they'll sell you a template, too. I mean, you know, as far as like, I never understand why people want to sign up for those like as listing companies.
I don't know what
think like what they do.
What's the advantage?
Yeah, I mean, I guess people are just asking because I guess if you want like a serious business, then don't you need like a serious
like you have to pay for services.
Services, yeah. I don't know.
The only thing I'm paying for is PayPal and eBay fees, basically. Right. That's my overhead.
Yeah, I guess one thing is, can't you list like offline? You know, so if you don't have the internet, you can list and then you can sync it up later. But
or if you have employees and you don't want them like signing into your account, something like that. But we don't. Us personally, I just list right off eBay. I go to eBay.com, sign in, list. Right.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, use TurboLister. Well, I work on a Macintosh, and they don't have a TurboLister program for a Macintosh, which is insane.
Yeah, it's so strange that they don't have it.
So that's the answer for us.
Hope that helps. All right, so thanks again for being with us this week. You can check out our blog at scavengeralife.com for all the links that we talked about today, and you can join our conversation there. Once we post this, there's always a good hot and heavy, you know, back and forth about
a lot of comments.
It's just good. And you can always leave us a question or comment on something that you've heard by calling
540-407-8486.
And I've also been starting to do like a throwback episode where
Sunday,
where I'll just link to in this post an older episode just to help maybe it's new people kind of dig into our archives.
I like that idea.
We don't really have a good way to like dig in deep, so I'll kind of bring up something that's pertinent to what we talked about.
Yes.
And Wednesday, Ryan always posts a What Sold It's video where you can actually see some of the stuff we sell.
And I make sure now, I'm making sure that I try to videotape everything that has different prices. So the expensive stuff and the cheap stuff. Right. So you see the variety of stuff in our store, not just the cool, crazy $500 items.
We also just want to thank everyone that sends in donations. You know, again, it's totally not a necessary thing, but it's very much
appreciate it.
And it helps us, like, we've been making enough to, like, pay our internet and phone bills.
So yeah, it's really nice. That's always cool. So thank you.
And then if you want to rent our vacation farmhouse, we'll also have a link to that on this post.
Yes.
And if you come and if you cook, we'll even eat dinner with you.
I think that is so funny. If you cook, we'll have dinner with you. We provide the house.
Or you know what? You may not want to even do that, so you don't have to
You can just rent the farmhouse.
But if you want to come and talk about scavenging, come and rent our farmhouse.
Yep.
It'd be great to meet people in person.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. This podcast is ending.
Do we have to say it every time?
In three, two, one.
Bye.